Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our second service here this morning at Trinity Covenant Church. We have launched into this new year with a series we've titled Together, and we are talking about building together from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. 1 Peter 4, 8 to 11. And once again, I just want to warmly welcome everyone here in our church facility, as well as those watching online, our stream from home, or if you're watching later on as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll go ahead and read our passage for us, 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. There are probably a lot of things that we miss during this past year because of COVID and all the disruptions we've seen in our society and culture. I know that, like many of you, I do miss especially traveling, and I can't even begin to count how many trips have been canceled or needing to be rescheduled because of the times that we are in. But looking back on a few memories of mine, especially thinking about things that had such a profound impact on me regarding building, things that were magnificently constructed is what we want to think about today. A couple years back, Kathy and I found ourselves in the beautiful country of Peru. And after a medical mission trip, Kathy's a nurse, as many of you know, we had taken one final day to head up to that famed ancient city, royal city, Machu Picchu, located 7,000 feet above sea level in the Peruvian Andes. 1983 became a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And pictures and video clips cannot do justice to the not only breathtaking beauty that you find at Machu Picchu, but the way in which these buildings that were constructed around the mid-1400s were constructed without mortar. Literally, rocks were cut and they were placed like a puzzle, a 3D puzzle, and they're still standing today. Absolutely magnificent. And the Spanish conquistadors did not find the city and remained undiscovered for almost 500 years until Yale sent a historian named Hiram Bingham. And in the early 1900s, 1911, this city was discovered. Amazing place. A couple years even before that, my family and I heard about a beautiful city called Durango, Colorado. And we took this, they call it a narrow gauge railway between the cities of Durango and Silverton in the San Juan Mountain Range. And it was spectacular. It's narrow gauge, so it's only 3 feet wide. And just as we were making this turn, I popped my head out in this steam locomotive powered train ride, and you can see a sheer drop into the Animas River. And to think that this has been running continuously since 1881 till today, a magnificent feat of engineering, of construction, that still is wowing thousands upon thousands who have a chance to ride this historic train. Even before that, on a stopover on my way to Kenya, we had a few hours to hang out in London, and finally I saw that magnificent Tower Bridge that many of you have probably seen as well. I thought it was the London Bridge, but it was called the Tower Bridge, and I was blown away. Its beauty, its construction, its engineering, think about the foundations that had to be constructed for this to still stand and be as strong as it is, built in the late 1800s, 1886 to 1894. And to lay one's eyes upon things that have been constructed beautifully, magnificently, that endures through the ages is a sight to behold. I don't think it's a coincidence that when we look at Scripture, that the kingdom of God and building the kingdom of God is often described as a vision of a construction project. And during this time, it's very easy to kind of conclude that since my life is kind of on hold, since I don't get a chance to do a lot of things, that God's kingdom must be on hold. But we're reminded, even through the darkest of times, whether it is times of great sadness and destruction because of war or famine that we find in the Scriptures, or during these past 2,000 years since Jesus was last with us, the kingdom of God continues to be built and has moved forward one person at a time, as God, through his gospel and through his son Jesus, is continually building into the lives of men, women, and children. We're looking at our passage this morning about building together in God's kingdom. And we were reminded, as we just wanted to take a few minutes this morning, to think about what is it about building the kingdom of God and serving that is so critically important for us as a church to be reminded of. First of all, we are reminded that serving is one of life's greatest privileges. It truly is one of life's greatest privileges. Verse 10, we're reminded, as Peter writes, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It is not gifts that we have just come up with ourselves, but gifts that have been given by God through his Holy Spirit that we have been given temporary stewardship of for a short window of time here on earth. Whatever that gift is, use it. Use it through the power of God's grace, and be reminded that there is no greater joy nor privilege than not only knowing Christ, but serving him as well. To know that we can be used by God to build his kingdom, and we do that through serving one another in love. The gospel reminds us, come be part of our team through Jesus Christ. Come be part of a new family. But we don't want to see you just get saved. But God says, I want to save you, but I also want to use you. And we're reminded of that as we look at 1 Peter 4 this morning. And sometimes we forget, under the burden, the weight, the heaviness, the discouragement, that we rather, as we think about, I get to use my life to serve the kingdom of God and to serve others, it is an attitude of great joy and great privilege that we get to serve the kingdom of God in both big and small ways. I'm reminded that none of us are indispensable. God does not need us. And all of us can be replaced. And so when we have a season, an opportunity, a window of health and strength and vitality to use it for the kingdom of God and the service of others, we treasure it. We are privileged to have it. And we run with it while the opportunity is at hand. Peter Davids reminds us, New Testament teacher, that Christians can't control how God has gifted them, but can and do control if and how the gift is used. Spiritual gifts are not autonomous entities outside a person's control, but abilities that the Spirit gives and that a person must grow in and use, putting them into service. What a great reminder and challenge as we look at the scope of our lives, at this challenging time in history, in our personal lives. We're reminded what a tremendous opportunity and privilege that God has given each and every one of us. Secondly, we're reminded this morning that serving is an essential part of our faith and life. It is an essential part of our faith and life. We often relegate spiritual growth and change and transformation as doing another Bible study or praying a few more minutes alone by ourselves in the morning. And these are critically important things as we learn to carve out time to do that. But it is taking those things and transforming that into acts of service and ministry as we build the kingdom of God, as we serve one another, that leads to the true growth, the joy, and the power of our lives. Bible study, prayer, yes, amen. But in addition, as we take those things and we turn to the needs that we find all over, especially during these times, we realize that it is indeed a critical part of our life and faith. It is not just an option. Because as you serve, as you realize that people can be challenging and the circumstances that we find ourselves in make it even more increasingly so, we discover much about ourselves, not only our strengths and talents and gifts and experiences that we can use to help and serve others in love and the love of Christ, but we also, as we intentionally serve the kingdom of God in the lives of others in service, we see our weakness, we see our sin, we see our shortcomings, our selfishness, our immaturity, and it's through that, through a lifestyle of continual repentance, drawing back to Him, that we grow, we change, we mature, our faith is strengthened. It's the only way by which we can learn about ourselves and others as we learn to forgive through service. It is hard, but it's through those times that we begin to really change and grow. Peter reminds us in verse 8 that above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. That leads us to our third point this morning that I would like to share, that serving is a response to the grace of God that we have received in Christ. So often we make the mistake and we fall into it, even if we have walked the faith for many years, that as I serve, that hopefully God is going to be working in my life. Hopefully He will bless me and I will see great things happen. But we're reminded that the gospel says that we have received the grace of God in Jesus Christ already. John Piper reminds us that I do these things, I serve, because my guilt has already been forever removed. I am already forgiven. I've received the gift of God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. And I know that God is for me and will help me. Because I've received these things, I cannot help but to trust Him, love Him, and obey Him, and to serve in radical risk-taking obedience. All of us who claim to be followers of Christ have experienced our feet being washed by Him, as this painting so illustrates. None of the disciples did all these things so that Jesus would do that, but they received it out of His grace, His love, as an act of service and kindness, and ultimately He gave His life for you and I on the cross. Because we received His grace already, a mark of a genuine believer cannot help but to pour your life in the lives of others in ministry and service and building the kingdom of God. Even through challenging times that we find ourselves in, we can't help but to allow that to continually flow out. What a powerful reminder of what we have experienced already in Christ. Fourthly, we're reminded that serving is how we see and experience Jesus tangibly. We can spend time in prayer, we can read the Word of God, we could study it, but it is true when the body of Christ comes alive in its members, in its gifts, its passions, that we begin to actually feel, see, and taste and experience Jesus. And all of us desperately need that. A few weeks ago when our family was back in Chicago visiting our extended family, James was so excited because he finally got to have Grandma's special, most magnificent treat, and we call it butter rice, because all it is warm rice with a slab of butter. That's it, butter rice. James kept, even on their plate, oh, I can't wait to have grandma's butter rice, butter rice, butter rice. I said, James, you never get that excited. I can make that for you. It's just rice with melted butter. I can make that. As terrible of a cook daddy is, I can make that. And he just didn't get as excited. But as soon as we got to grandma's house, grandma, I want your butter rice. And so my mom, with such joy, would get literally just warm rice, butter. It's not even that great butter. It was just plain old butter. And spoonful after spoonful, shoving it into his mouth. And he's just smiling. He's doing his happy dance. He's clapping above his head. And he only does it when he's really excited and happy. And he would literally run circles around the table eating grandma's butter rice. What's so great about grandma's butter rice? Nothing. But it's a way that tangibly he could feel physically the love of his grandma with each spoonful of that butter rice going in his mouth. That is how we see and experience and know and feel the love of Christ. When we serve others and when we are served by others, Christ becomes tangibly real to us. Oswald Sanders reminds us, in order to accomplish his work on earth, Jesus had a body made of flesh, his incarnation. We just celebrated this Christmas. He had a body made of flesh and blood. In order to accomplish his work today, Jesus also has a body that consists of living human beings. Sometimes we live in such a spiritual level of existence that we think that everything is invisible. No. The church is the living body of Christ made up of human beings. That as we serve one another tangibly, physically, in love, we experience the life, the blood, the power of Jesus. And therefore, every person is precious. Every gift is precious. God does not waste a single gift that he pours out upon his people. You are sitting on a treasure that God has gifted and graced to you in his gifts and his love. They are given by his grace. They're all significant. And how beautiful it is when we tangibly experience the love of Christ through the ministry of others. Fifthly and finally, boy, now I want a bowl of butter rice. Oh my goodness. Serving is how we move our vision forward. We need people in order to pursue people. Cannot be done just in a vacuum. We need people in order to pursue other people. And I believe that as we develop a communal vision of the kingdom of God and the power of the local church, we almost always individualize this kind of message. Okay, what can I do? What can I know? What can we do as a church during these challenging times to show people the love of Christ to one another and to our community? Because when we are captured by that vision of the body of Christ, we can do things far greater than our individual little pet projects. We are one family. We are on the same team. We're reminded that as God has graciously given all of us such different, wonderful, precious gifts to be used, it is not for rivalry or jealousy or competition. It is all for the common good of the body of Christ. We celebrate when we don't have gifts, but we see it in others. We celebrate, we cheer. We're encouraged because we are on the same team. And so easy to forget that. Diversity, not uniformity, is necessary for a healthy church. New Testament theologian David Pryor says, rather than build community out of diversity, we often tend to let each subgroup form its own unit and grow in isolation from other natural groupings. That we need to continually fight against as we cast a broader vision of the church and the kingdom of God. We were reminded in the past that great challenge by Pastor Rick Warren, that serving is often the opposite of how we naturally want to be wired, especially when we are in discomfort and pain. More often we're interested in serve us rather than service. Rick Warren has reminded us, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me, not I'm looking for a place to serve and be a blessing. We expect others to serve us, not vice versa. But as we mature in Christ, the focus of our lives should increasingly shift to living a life of service. The mature follower of Jesus stops asking, who's going to meet my needs? And starts asking, whose needs can I meet? And I think the key is we're reminded we are not serving an organization, a building, a program, but it is a person, the person of Jesus. And I know often it is easy to forget that. Even in the midst of good works and good service, it's about serving a person who served us in the ultimate way by giving his life for you and I on the cross. So whether it's in corporate America, whether you're changing diapers at home, making meals, helping kids with homework, whether it be in your ministry position, whatever it is, may we not forget that the key to serving is that we are reminded that we are serving a person, the person of Christ first, and those children of his that he came to save. Going back to that spectacular vista and picture of Machu Picchu, you think about it, when people get together to build something significant, even though this is over 500 years old and it is in disrepair, it's seen its better days, but still magnificent nevertheless. What would attract millions of people to pay big bucks to view ruins of an ancient city? It says when things are constructed with excellence, with a vision, with sacrifice, it can endure through the ages. I believe that we are preparing for a most profound season of seeing God's kingdom move forward in the midst of this global pandemic. Why is that? Why do I believe that here at Trinity we're about to see a spectacular time of fruit in God's kingdom being grown here within the walls and outside the walls of our church? It's because we have been tremendously humbled through this past year. We can't even hug our loved ones without thinking and having fear about this crazy virus. We have learned to appreciate even the small things that we used to expect and take for granted in the past. Even little things, even a visit to see grandma is precious. We're so thankful that each day we have life and we're not sick and we're relatively healthy. We don't take it for granted anymore, do we? And in this time, as we realize there are tremendous opportunities out there. We've rediscovered gifts and abilities and passions that God has put into our hearts. And in this challenging time, as we've been greatly humbled and as we are so thankful for even the smallest opportunities, I believe that that is the perfect environment for a renewal and revival for the local church and here at Trinity. God doesn't need any of us, but he has extended the invitation to serve his body and his kingdom as we are called to build together a kind of city far more beautiful than what you see on the screen there, the kingdom of God that will last forever. We realize during this time that the kingdom of God is far bigger than us or our family or our local church. As many of us have been listening to messages from great teachers across this country and around the world, as walls have been broken down, as we've been humbled, we see the kingdom of God is far bigger than just our lives and just the four walls of one church. I believe that we are preparing for a spectacular time of God's kingdom moving forward in power. We all were mesmerized by Amanda Gorman's poem. This 22-year-old poet laureate, The Hill We Climb, during President Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook over our nation and every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge better than beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shadow of flame and unafraid, the new dawn balloons as we free it. For there was always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Whether you're on the left or the right politically, it was a stirring poem, giving us once again an opportunity to be reminded of the great country that we live in and the opportunity to see it continually rise. And as I was listening to her poem, it reminded me of the greater kingdom of God, the opportunity to build something that will last in eternity, not just for the next 4 years of someone's presidency. We're reminded that as the church of Christ, that we are called to serve others and build the kingdom of God in our generation. And so as we've been challenged by here in 1 Peter 4, as we've seen it, and so many of you have been serving, we just want to thank you. Even this past Friday, Hope for 10 and their free giveaway this past Friday of toiletries, cleaning supplies, to those that are serving and helping in small ways, big ways, making phone calls, encouraging one another, serving, that we could even have services like this. Every little thing that you do, thank you. And as we prepare for a tremendous opportunity before us, don't miss out. Let us get ready to see God do great things as we recommit ourselves to the one who has already committed himself, his whole heart and being to us, and proved it by giving himself for us on the cross. Three questions and we'll end. Have you ever seen something that literally took your breath away? And I guess some of you could say, yeah, that's my spouse sitting next to me. If you wanted to win some points. Have you ever seen something so spectacular, amazing, that it just took your breath away beside your spouse? And when you see, and I've shown you a few pictures of some things that really took my breath away, what things are necessary to build something spectacular like that? And as we think about that, how does our call to serve build the kingdom of God? With that, let us recommit ourselves to building God's kingdom, because he has not stopped even during a pandemic. Let us build together that God would be glorified and souls will be touched for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the reminder and the great call that you have upon our lives, not just to save our souls, but you want to use us. And we have found ourselves profoundly struggling through this past year in isolation and discouragement. But thank you that you remind us that the kingdom of God is never put on hold or pause, that you move forward in power and strength. The gospel is unchained. It continues as you remind us, just as the wind blows and goes wherever it pleases, nothing can stop the kingdom of God from moving forward. And so, Lord, in our own lives and in our church, stir our hearts awake again. Help us to grab the wonderful opportunities to not just run a church program or a building, but to invest in the lives of people in both small and big ways. Renew us once again. May we see the kingdom of God being built through Trinity Covenant Church. We give you thanks for the awesome privilege of serving one another in love. In the name, the mighty name of Jesus, amen.